Hey, this is Ryan Sickler from the Crab Feast Podcast right here on All Things Comedy, and I'm excited to announce that my new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. Get it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, and everywhere else you get comedy and music. Follow me on all social media at Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com.
You're now listening to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome to the Movie Night podcast, everybody. I am TK Kelly, and I'm joined, as always, by my debonair co-host, Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie with a special guest, and we talk about it at your faces, because, quite honest, if we did anything loftier, it'd be out of our depths.
Yes, it would be. Even this is a stretch, actually. Today, we have a very special guest. A guy who we actually just went to the movies. I put you onto that great movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
With the leather seats.
Yes.
That recline. He's a Best of Boston comic. He's the winner of this year's March Madness. It's an LA comedy.
March Comedy Madness.
March
he did not win. He did not
right,
win the
right,
NCAA
right, right.
tournament.
March Comedy Madness is the LA comedy competition. He's a regular on the Doug Loves Movies podcast and has his own podcast called the Worthless Podcast. LESS. Jay Hollingsworth.
Yes.
Thank you, Jay, for being here.
Thanks
with
for
us.
Having me, guys.
Yes. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, other than the movie you guys made me watch.
Hey, that was all me.
Yep, that was all me.
It's always Dwayne. I blame Dwayne. Dwayne has like this sick streak where he enjoys making people watch movies that he knows they're not going to enjoy.
Yeah. And you know, I'm a huge movie fan. Like I'll go to a movie knowing it's awful just because I love the experience of going to movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one, like, I was wondering what made you.
Well, you know, this is the thing. We normally have agreement. I actually liked this movie the first time I saw it, and not as much the second time. But I still liked it. I can see the problems with it though. But I really did like it.
Let's talk a little to Jay first before we get into how much he and I hated the movie that Dwayne loves. What have you been up to, man? What do you got going on?
I moved down here. Started comedy in Boston, then was in Seattle like the last 5 years, and then. I moved down here middle of February, I think as comics, like, you want everything faster, but overall, like, I'm pretty happy with how things have been going. Like, I just been, you know, doing the grind, as we, you know, and a lot of the comics, when I was in Seattle, I was the house MC at a comedy club called The Parlor Live for,
for
like 4 years. Yeah, and a lot of those guys have been really, really nice and gracious in helping me, like, Alonzo Bowden, John Reap, Doug Benson, and so it's been great. I mean, like, overall, I have nothing to complain about, you know, just grinding.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I think most people look at your path and respect your choices, you know, Boston, great comedy town, Seattle, great comedy town. So, you know, people see that and go, oh, this guy's put in the work.
Yeah, it's like a buddy of mine's getting ready to move down here within this next 6 months, and he was asking me how it is, and I'm like, well, like, you know, you hear all these different stories before you come to LA, like, oh, you'll never go, you know, like, stage time's so hard to get. And I'm like, well, if you come down here thinking you're going to go up at the store or, you know, the three main ones, like, right away, yeah, it's going to be horrible. But there's tons of mics you can do. If your goal is to get in work, you know, open mics. And I told him the other thing, too, is if you come down here with material, you'll stand out. Because, you know, so many comics that start down here, like, I had a buddy that's been doing it, like, 3 years down here. And I was trying to get him just like some like a feature spot at this one. I was like, how much time do you have? And I thought he'd be like, oh, like 45 an hour. He was like, maybe 20. And I was like, what? And he goes, well, I only get like 3 minute shots.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for him to develop like a longer set.
It is. So. It's a hard scene to build yourself in, but you have to be willing to just grind it out, do the mics, especially starting out. And also, I mean, if you come prepared and you're not always doing that same five, it helps.
I think
you know, a lot of comics fall into that when they come to LA because they're not getting a lot of stage time, and they always think they have, oh, I have to do my tight five. I have to do this five, and then everybody's like, that guy's been doing the same shit for 3 years. Like, he has nothing else. That's not always the case. I think people are just afraid to waver from it.
No, I know some great comics who actually started here and got really, really funny, but you also have to break away from the mics at some point and, you know, come hell or high water, find a room with people who are not entertainers.
Yeah.
And they exist. But you got to get down to Orange County. You got to
Oh yeah, you got to be willing Inland to travel. Empire. Yeah, you can get San Diego's so close. There's good clubs down there.
You got
to
do Latino shows.
There's a lot of rooms.
Like you got to find people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I just did. You know Connor McSpadden?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah. We did his room. That was. I got there late.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. I had left.
I thought they canceled the show. Like it was like no one was outside of the Ontario Improv, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I call you. Yeah. I call Jay. Then finally, I went in the back, and I'm like. They closed the front door. So I'm thinking, what, it's going to be six people. It's going to suck. It was like a speakeasy. It was packed in there. It was completely packed.
Sold out.
Really? Yeah, that's great.
Like, they closed because
and
they
this is down. That's
at the Ontario Improv,
I think so
yeah.
many people don't realize that, like, just go down to Orange County. It sucks driving down there on weekdays. You know, you're going to hit a shitload of traffic. But just suck it up and do it. You can do good rooms. You get more time. And you get authentic audiences that aren't 98% industry
or
comics.
And, and this was an IE, but the IE and Orange County also have more dojos. Than LA. So if you wanted to work
so you
on
stop
your,
at a dojo on your way down, yes, go down yes. early.
Is that true? There's a lot of martial arts clubs down there?
That's just something that I think is true. I have no data to support that. But,
just notice a lot of dojos.
I used to teach martial arts.
Really?
Like 10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think there are more dojos because I think regular guys want to learn how to kick ass. Which I'm completely against it. I'm completely against it. I liked it when tough guys were tough and guys who weren't tough were weren't tough. But now like accountants want to just know how to take you down. You know, I just think that's
everybody's
wrong.
Just preparing for the end. They're all they all want to be ready when everything goes fucking tits up. That was such an antiquated statement, right? That was like my dad just came out of me. It's all going tits up. The world's going to shit. Yeah. I just, as I said that, I was like, where did I even hear that?
Back in my day.
All right, let's get into this movie. That's as good a time as any. I don't know how to transition out of that. This week's movie, chosen by Dwayne Perkins, was Easy A, 2010, directed by Will Gluck, starring Emma Stone, Amanda Bynes, Penn Badgley, Stanley Tucci, Thomas Hayden Church, Lisa Kudrow, a lot of good actors in it.
I dare say an all-star cast.
Yeah, it's a solid solid cast. That is where my compliments for it end. what did we think overall, guys? How'd you feel?
Oh, my roommate was laughing because I was like, I got to watch this. It's part of this podcast. I got to watch it.
Sure you do.
Yeah, exactly. That's who he's like. It's like, it's cool, bro. If you want to watch it, it's cool. You don't go. I'm like, no, seriously. I had to watch it in parts because I would watch like, I went like the first, I went 10 minutes. I was like, oh God, this is killing me. And I need a break. And then I'd go 20, 30 minutes and then finished watching it. I don't know. It seemed like they're mashing up different types of teen movies into one instead of like picking like the type of teen movie they want to be.
Interesting. Yeah.
And granted, that's a good point to make though, in general, that it is a teen movie. We're not the demographic for this movie, so I don't know that me hating it means it's bad, but it was hard to get through. It was very just overly quirky. Every character was like, oh, they're so funny. They're such a fun, weird person.
I will say this. This movie, and it might be because of Emma Stone, this movie definitely violated some basic tenets that I usually will like say no, you know, I call BS on. It's almost like we all know a guy who like is a dick.
Right? Oh yeah,
I mean we live in LA.
Myself,
and we look in the mirror and we say, "Listen, dick." No, we all know say you know 10 dicks, right? 10 assholes, and then one just doesn't bother you as much as the others. Like he's no less of an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
But for some reason, you're like, I'm okay with this guy.
He's harmless.
He's the endearing asshole.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought about this movie. Upon watching it the second time, I think the first time I didn't know what to expect, right? And I thought the parents, I really liked the parents a lot.
It had its moments. There was funny parts.
There were some funny parts.
The parents especially. But
Upon watching it a second time, I realized that this movie violated one thing that I usually don't like when movies do this, but everyone's a bit smarter than they should be. Like
everyone is
extremely
super
smarter
smart.
Than they should be.
Everyone's very astute, very very zany. It was
And it's like high school, but like it feels like college.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's a teen movie, but they do like they have like some pretty heavy stuff in there, and like some like very adult like undertone stuff in there, and then like also some stuff like Obviously, I mean, I don't have to say, like, spoiler alert. Come on, you ruined Easy A for me.
Yeah.
But the comment she made about the interracial gay couple, like, with the big black dude, and then later they're watching Huck Finn. I'm like, are they trying to say that, like,
the thing is, I've never thought of Huck Finn, that relationship, as a gay one.
Yeah.
But then when he said, it's all right, Huck. I like staring, and I was like, whoa, what is he about to do to Huck?
Everything was very, very exaggerated and very overly written.
Yeah.
It was like they were trying so hard to sound smart that nothing sounded believable whatsoever. Yeah. It was like none of this is a real conversation that would ever happen.
And that's the thing. I think she kind of pulled it off. You could go for the thing of, okay, maybe she comes from these sort of like, you could say, kind of hippie parents, and they're really smart, she's really smart, and everyone else is dumb. But that kind of wasn't the case.
Exactly. If she was the only one, if she had that weird quirkiness and she was super intelligent and very snarky, I think that's fine. But it was everybody. The parents, the teachers, the guy she liked, the gay kid, all of them were very much, smart. They were the same.
It was like, here's the thing, they were too smart for this to be a dilemma in their lives.
I just
forgive it because Emma Stone is just she's in one of my categories that I can't tell you about.
He doesn't want a permanent record of whatever he's thinking.
I'll tell you, this is bad and I'm gonna catch hell for this. I know I am. But there are a list of girls who not that it would ever happen, but if I could be with them, you know what I mean? There's a list of girls.
What do you mean be with them?
Sexually.
I love the hesitance that's happening right now.
There's a list of girls who I just would have to not wear a condom. You know what I mean? And she's
in you're hoping to reproduce with her is what you're saying.
You want to
make a baby.
Or just not wear a condom.
Just not wear a condom. I'm trying to make it sound less unsavory than it is.
And so... So
you forgive a lot of this movie because you really want to bang
about
10, the star.
10 girls, I'm like... I would be like, listen, come on. That's what I say when I don't want to wear a condom.
Well,
listen,
it's important that you know that going in.
And coming out.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the movie caught me off guard, and I really... Because I'm from, like, I like the John Hughes movies, like, this was, like, the closest I've seen in a long time. So I think that it took me back to those, like, those 80s movies. And it was trying to do that.
Was it a send-up of that, though, or was it, like, a tribute? It was hard to tell.
Yeah, it was hard to tell.
It was almost like they were walking the line between a spoof of a teen movie and an actual teen movie.
And I think they never fully decided. But...
Yeah, the overall feeling of the movie, it seemed muddled. Like I said, it had its moments. There were parts that I laughed at, but overall, I was like, what is this thing that I'm watching?
Well,
I don't...
it didn't need to be narrated by her, but then at the end, you get that she's doing this podcast, and that's the thing, like, it's so advanced. People have cell phones. It's 2010, right?
This movie is that when it came out?
So people have cell phones, people are texting each other, she's putting up a webcast, a blog, and yet sex is a big deal. Like, we already know by now that, like, now in this day and age, since, you know, the last 10 years or whatever, preteens have parties where they wear lipstick and see how many can get their lipstick on young boys. Yeah. Like, it's the ship has sailed in terms of, like, it's in California. It's
exactly,
not like down south.
I had an issue with where it was set. I don't know that much about, this isn't even really Northern California.
Been to Ojai.
It's Ojai. It's not that far away from here. I felt like if this was set in you know, the Midwest, the progressive part, I mean, the conservative part of it would have been much more believable. But this was kind of like, you know, they had these Bible thumping kids at the school. Does any school have that group of kids, or are they
not
all
extreme,
in Catholic
I don't think.
School?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys felt this, but I was like, because I'm like she's a teenager in this movie, but I'm like, how old was she when this came out?
Yeah, no.
And I know her as she is now.
That's an issue. Well, not only with her, I think they had to cast the whole. I felt like she was the centerpiece, so they had to cast the other kids to be a little older. Like, even the guy Todd, who she's supposedly hooked up with, he looks, he's like a man. Like,
well,
a
also, I mean,
man.
The subject matter of this movie, I think it would have been hard to tackle it with a genuinely, like, appropriately aged cast.
Right, but
like,
they are in high school, though.
I know, but I think then, yes. Like, the subject matter is just, like, too uncomfortable. By making it, like, Emma Stone and her best friend, who looked like she was, like, 25, like, I think it's easier to deal with that, and it's like, oh, it's funny because they're joking about sex, but really, it would be like,
right.
This is horrifying.
But even, and I still stick to my guns of liking the movie, but even the kid who was supposed to be, like, the guy who couldn't get out of high school, who's supposed to be 21, like he didn't look older than anyone else. They all looked the same age.
Weirdly enough, the same dude from Burlesque, the last absolute horseshit movie Dwayne made us watch. I've never seen that dude in anything else, and it was the same guy.
The same guy.
The kid who got syphilis from Lisa Kudrow. Can we touch on how lightly they covered, like, you know, everything was so scandalous in this movie that this young girl, Emma Stone, was having sex. And meanwhile, breezed over the fact that this guidance counselor banged a kid who was technically legally of age, but only because he was too stupid to get out of the school.
Yeah.
And they just glossed over
it. Yeah,
it was such a tiny story. Yeah, and I'm like, wait, why? I want to see more about this. This is fucked up.
Yeah, it was like, where did it come from? What was the point? You know, because
it seemed very unnecessary, and it seemed they dropped such a huge bomb, so in the middle of the movie, and then it's just kind of like, meh.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's also crazy that she, Emma Stone's character, agrees to take the blame and
that was like, you've gone from like,
yeah, yeah. You can you just know, tell everybody I gave him chlamydia, even though I've never been with him. And then, like, you know,
the whole martyrdom of her character. They came to a point where, like, all right, no one would do this. Yeah. This is you're taking a
Anybody
lot of bullets.
Anybody have AIDS? I can just say I gave it to him. You know, it's just crazy.
Like, oh, you killed him and you dumped his body. Yeah. Just say I did it. I don't want you to get in trouble.
But then she runs into the office and just drops dime.
Yeah.
And tells the guy. It was her husband.
There was a quick turn in this movie where, understandably, you know, she digs herself in too deep.
And it's and a comedy. Comedies turn quick.
And she decides she can't deal with it anymore. But yeah, it's very easy for her. She just runs in and she's like, your wife is banging some kid. And then it's like, wait, why when his wife told you that she was banging this kid,
right.
Why were you concerned with saving their marriage?
Like,
he needs to know that. You tell him, whoever he is.
Well, you know, it was very bizarre. You guys are making it harder for me to stick with my stance of liking the movie.
This was not all bad. This was not Burlesque. I will say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was not all bad. But it just seemed... maybe, and again, maybe the technology thing was an issue, but like, we are not their age group that they're targeting with this movie, and it just felt so weirdly juvenile while at the same time way too adult.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but because the last time that I feel that sex was a big deal in high school, it was even before I was in high school.
Like, yeah, nobody gave
a shit. You see the movie Kids? Like, that was like, what, 15, 20 years ago or whatever it was? And that's New York City, and these kids are like, outrageous. Now it's New York, granted, but like that was sort of like a coming out party to like, this is what happens in high school now.
Yeah.
And so 20 years later, to have this movie about, oh, I had sex and I'm the slut of the I mean, I suspended my disbelief, but that was a little
I think
bit,
it was them taking the adaptation of The Scarlet Letter and just putting it in modern times. But the problem was like, all right, but no one in modern times gives a shit about people having sex. No one's mad.
Seriously, yeah. Everybody just has the A's on their shirts through the whole school. That's their letterman.
Yeah, exactly. Like every one of them is having sex. And it was just hard to believe that it would be that big a deal. But anyway, let's get into these games before we rant on too much about this. First one this week, rename this movie. Easy A, kind of a clever title, I think, actually, considering how little I like the movie. But rename it to something that describes it more aptly. Like, you know what this movie is at its core from the title.
I got three.
Go nuts, man.
Yes.
Fake it till you make it.
Cause, nice.
Because both her and the gay dude, you know, and it's the other one. Be a whore, achieve more.
I like these are all very nice turns of phrase.
And then the last one was just lie to get ahead. And that could be like lie down
head.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Lie to get head.
Yeah. You should write copy. This is great stuff. This is really great stuff.
those are my three.
I came up with and mine are always super literal. That's my trademark, I guess. Cute college-aged people treating sex like a big deal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's more of like, I like that as like the Amazon instant description of the movie.
Yeah, right, right.
Like, that's the log line. What do you need? General description of it. Mine's sort of the same vein as that. Mine is just super quirky people and their super quirky parents doing super quirky things. It was all just too damn cute. It was hard to swallow. Make a drinking game out of it. We do this one every time because I don't know if it's an alcohol dependency on our end, but we really like this game.
I like this game. Yeah, yeah.
So drink every time something happens in this movie that is repetitive. I'll start it off. For me, it was just drink every time you genuinely think like, oh my God, what the fuck happened to Amanda Bynes?
Right. Yeah.
Dude, that's my roommate that when he was like, oh, is this before Amanda Bynes went crazy?
This is like the last, I feel like this was like the last big thing she did before it just all went to shit. And I found myself thinking that a lot.
And what I learned from Facebook.
And she was funny in this too.
She's funny in everything.
She was funny in this.
What I learned from Facebook and people in Facebook, and I don't know much about, you know, mental health, but apparently you can't call her crazy. Like people on Facebook are really adamant about like her mental issues. And I guess she's not an alcoholic and you can't call her crazy.
What if she's sober challenged?
She's not. Right? She's not well. She's not well. We'll say that.
The thing is, I don't know. Crazy doesn't, you know, like it's the layman's term.
You can't call anybody anything anymore, Dwayne. Don't you know that?
That's
you can't
true.
Call her crazy, even though all of the things she does are crazy.
I think everyone wants an N-word. And there's only one N-word.
Yeah.
Stop elevating all these other words.
What do you think, Jay?
I said every time one of the girls does a guffaw, like,
oh, that's a good
that's
one.
You know, whatever. That was my take a shot.
Yeah, her best friend did that. I think that if that was like in the script, that's probably five pages of dialogue for her. It was just like, whatever, scoffing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine requires, it's kind of the honor system, mine, and it's just a me thing. But every time you kind of like switch which girl you kind of want to be with.
So, Dwayne, I mean, it's becoming pretty evident that the real reason you enjoyed this movie was it was more of a pervy angle, less of a story thing.
Right.
That's fine. That's all right. The movie was great to look at. I'll admit that.
Well, I didn't think Amanda Bynes was cute the first time I watched it, but this time I'm like, wait a minute, because, you know, she's got that cute, is that a pug nose? What would you call that?
I don't know. I know that was meant to be complimentary. She's a good looking girl.
She's pretty.
Things have not gone great, but she's she's okay to look at.
It's sort of like your game, except it's you know, it kind of like
you got to be real honest.
Like
you got to be the weird guy in the corner just drinking every 2 minutes.
And you're like, wait, didn't you just drink for the guy? What is going on?
Dwayne is hammered and not picky. All right, pitch the sequel. At the end of this movie, she sets the record straight with her her video blog, and she gets together with the kid who dresses like a beaver. things all have seemingly worked out. What happens next for them? What do you think, Dwayne?
You know, I just thought of something else, but this is what I wrote down in my preparation. I wrote, she goes to college and hooks up with hundreds of guys. But starts a rumor that she's a virgin.
Nice.
but none of the guys who are banging her say anything because they want to keep banging her.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like nothing really happens
polar
in this movie.
Opposite.
It kind of sits still because
it sounds like a porn. I mean, I think that they would make if there was a porn version. They're just like flip it around.
Right. Exactly.
her name was what was it? Olive.
Olive. Yeah.
Okay. Sequel would be called Sleazy O, and. And it would be because she narked on the guidance counselor chick. She doesn't give her any type of letter of recommendation. She doesn't get into college. She actually does have to become a whore.
Wow.
A hooker, sleeps with all those guys and does get syphilis.
Oh,
nice.
That was mine. Dark. Little now, comeuppance.
Does she get syphilis? Because it was chlamydia. I'm just saying.
Sorry.
We clearly don't know the difference.
One of them. Exactly.
They're interchangeable. Both of them, it seems like, who gets that anymore?
Right.
Those are old timey diseases. Just koalas have a lot of chlamydia. I know
we're doing the questions, but that's a good point. The guy gets chlamydia, which I think it falls under the penicillin umbrella of things that you can
don't
just
have to act like you don't know. It's cool.
It's treatable.
Which I think.
It is treatable.
I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, And why is he with his grandparents scratching? Like, did they not give him penicillin? Like,
well, I think it takes time. I don't think it just goes away. I mean,
wasn't it a few days? Like, it just seemed weird.
I don't know.
I love Dwayne. I heard it was 24 to 48 hours.
I mean, I'm not speaking from experience, but yeah. Chlamydia is not that bad.
Yeah. That's funny.
I also had Olive going to college in her sequel, except she goes to college and she struggles maintaining her GPA, so she starts to sleep with all of the professors who want to get their street cred up.
Nice.
So yeah, we all have her going in a really dark, hoary direction. I don't know what that says about us. That's a little weird. Let's move on to the last game. I like this one a lot. If you had to start a rumor about yourself, so in this movie, she accepts the rumor that gets spread that she's sleeping with all these guys at her high school to help them out, and it helps her out because she was formerly invisible. So if you had to start a rumor about yourself, what would it be and how would it help you?
Mine would be, I put one of two. Either people would hear, I'd spread the rumor that I'm helping book late night spots.
That's hilarious.
Or
it would get you a lot of stage time.
If you're a comic, that's hilarious. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm on a new, some new show or pilot that they filmed with a huge name comic. And both of them are for the same reason, just so I can get more spots.
Yeah.
You know, you just walk in anywhere and they're like, you got it.
Jay's is inside. He's just like, I just want more stage time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I love how transparent you are. Like, Jay, what's going on? Well, you know, I'm getting spots. They said I wouldn't get spots, but I'm getting spots.
Dwayne, what do you think, man?
I had two, and it kind of like, I didn't realize it until now how diametrically opposed they are. One is, I don't know how this would necessarily help me, but I'm the Dalai Lama's favorite comic. And I just think that'd be like a good thing. Like, you know, Dalai Lama, he doesn't even love comedy, but he loves
me. And
a
hard thing to disprove. It's like, well, I mean, who would make that up?
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't know if it would get me corporate gigs on the peace circuit.
Would you use that as like a credit to get when you get brought up on stage? Like, he is the Dalai Lama. You've seen him on Conan.
Maybe.
He's the Dalai Lama's favorite comic.
I'm thinking it would help me get laid, but I'm not sure. But it
just
seems
try,
like it,
just
it could,
try
right?
it out.
Now, here's the other one, which I don't. What does it say about me that I came up with these two? And they're written down. The other one was that I killed the man when I was 8. But like a would-be assailant, and he did something, so he deserved it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I got off, but like it was like, dude, I killed someone when I was 8. Like,
that's,
like what?
I like
do you
that.
Really want to do this with me right now?
I really like that one. Just because it's like, man, that would be always be the thing, like, it's like, oh, you know, Dwayne, yeah, he's a great dude, good comic. You heard he killed a guy when he was 8, right? That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'm generally, you know, generally.
That would spread fast, too. That would spread fast like this movie. We should do that one. Let's just do it.
That's a great one, right? Because I'm thought of as
I'm
going to
start
nice
telling
guy.
People.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that would be the thing. They're like, he seems so nice. And be like, dude, that's like his dark thing. He doesn't really talk about it.
Super well-adjusted for a child killer.
Yeah, right. So I don't know why that popped. I just think that, and you could be so nice.
Yeah.
Like, no one, because everyone knows, like, he was 8. Like, that's, how strong was he? Like, how did he even do that at 8?
Dude, and then every once in a while you throw it out, like, just like a real subtle one. Like, you're at a party or something, and you're kind of by yourself, and people are like, what's, dude, are you all right? And you're like, yeah, dude, I'm cool. It's just, I had this thing happen when I was 8 at a party.
Yeah.
I don't really like talking about it. And then just leave it at
just
that.
Just stare out the window.
Yeah.
I like it. That one goes deep, man. I really like that. Yeah. Mine is much more superficial. Mine is just spreading the rumor that I can dunk.
That's great.
I just want to be the guy that, like, dude, TK can dunk.
Yeah.
Like, you would, but he doesn't do it ever. Like, I'll always be like, you know, I tweaked my ankle last week.
That's
like, I don't want to mess it up again. But just, and it wouldn't get me anything, mind you. Like, that wouldn't help me in my career. But just to have people be like, oh, that 5'7 white guy can dunk, man.
Yeah, that's
that makes you way more awesome.
No, being able to dunk is a big deal.
I genuinely believe if every man on the planet could dunk a basketball, there would be no war.
You know,
all inadequacies would go away.
I completely agree with you. Yes.
It's the world I want to live in. I think we just have to train all of our children to work out their calves nonstop.
Well, let me ask you this. In countries where they don't play basketball, what would be the equivalent that they would
still,
have to
man,
do? Still,
man. You
dunk.
Show them a slam dunk, and then if they can do it, I don't know that there's any better feeling of, like, masculinity and accomplishment than dunking a basketball. And this is coming from a dude who's done it on, like, the highest I could ever do it was, like, 9 feet.
Right.
So that's not even real.
No, but that's impressive, though.
Well,
really
that was a long time ago. But that's the other thing, is I think I'm close enough that people might believe it.
I've never done it in a game, but when I was 18, I think I've dunked the ball before. But, like, you know, I had to start running.
Dwayne, you're black. No one's impressed. This is a big deal for me. Stop taking it.
It's like me. I'm 6'8". People are like, well, you know.
Yeah,
should,
good for you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, dunking is hard at any height.
You tell yourself that, right? Dwayne. It's a lot harder at my height. All right, that about does it, guys. That was a lot of fun. Jay, thanks so much for doing
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me, guys. And thanks for making me watch that shit movie.
Anytime. I'm sorry, guys. Anytime. Anything you want to promote, any shows coming up, Twitter handle, that kind of shit?
I'm Big Irish Jay on everything. Big Irish Jay, website, Twitter, Facebook, all that. The main show I'll plug is September 11th at Flappers.
Good day for comedy.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. We're doing a cancer fundraiser for melanoma. So we're doing that. It's a great show. It's me, Jeff Keith. George from The Price is Right is hosting it. And
all
then
right.
Brian Callen is on it. And we might have this pretty big special guest. But 9/11 at Flappers.
A 9/11 cancer benefit
Flappers
comedy show. This sounds like a Mad Lib.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, a really dark Mad Lib. But that's obviously a great cause, so go check them out at Flappers Fun Club. Dwayne, what do you got?
I'm at FunnyDP, DwayneParkins.com, Dwayne Perkins on Facebook. I'm in Morty's in Indianapolis, August 28th through the 30th, and, you know, kicking it around L.A. the other days.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and I did not look at my calendar before the show, so I won't plug any dates in particular, but come check out Warp Zone at the Virgil. It's the last Tuesday of every month here in LA. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Jay, thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
All right.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.